The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is a beautiful, beautiful Monday out in the nation's capital. Everybody's off from school. The cherry blossoms are out. There's people milling about, people not paying attention, people crossing walks and walking crosses without paying attention and looking at their phones, almost getting hit by the old rooster because they weren't paying attention, not because of me. But it is a gorgeous, splendid day out in the nation's capital. Man, whew, low 80s, cherry blossoms in full effect still. And what a weekend. Your boy's been busy. We will tell you about the weekend in due time. Got a lot going on the show. Kevin Willard is gone to Villanova as expected. We will touch on that. Who will replace him? We will touch on that. Does an AD need to be hired before a new head coach? We will touch on that. NFL owners meetings going on in Palm Beach, Florida. We will touch on that. Adam Peters spoke this morning. We'll have some of that. Efforting somebody from down there that can ideally talk both Terps and is at the NFL owners meeting. Stay tuned for that. Caps take one on the chin yesterday, but Alex Ovechkin, goal number 890. And we all thought he had 891. I had a great video of the setup and the shot and the goal and the crowd exploding and the video board thinking, as I thought, as I think everybody thought, that it was Alex Ovechkin's second goal of the game, an 891, but all for naught. It was Pierre-Luc Dubois on the deflection in front. And Alex Ovechkin only got one goal, two assists. You will hear that goal later on in the show as part of our Chasing 895, in which he is just five away. That's right. Caps back-to-back road games at Boston tomorrow night, at Carolina Wednesday night. On a three-game losing streak. I wonder if Ovechkin scored a hat trick tomorrow night. With Friday night being at home against Chicago. I wonder if Spencer Carberry would maybe say, you know, time for a little resty bye-bye. I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
He's been pretty anti that from his statements.
Yeah.
Because he knows people are buying all these tickets right now just to hope to see this goal.
I know.
And if you pulled Ovi, they'd be so mad. Like,
I know. And it's not fair to the fans in Raleigh, and it's not fair to the team. And, you know, then you're putting a goal chase and a historical record, granted, ahead of team winning, losing. They're on a three-game losing streak. Boston stinks. They traded away a bunch of their team, including Brad Marchand, since the last time we saw them. So, you know. But it is second night of a back-to-back. Fairly longish travel from Boston down to Raleigh. Short turnaround. You know, I guess you could make an argument. Anyway, Friday night, Chicago. The next chance at Capital One Arena that we could see NHL history and sports history, quite honestly. I was there yesterday, worked the game, and it was good to be back. I saw so many friends and colleagues and good people that I love and that, you know, I got, you know, fairly close to covering the Stanley Cup championship team and the 2019 and the 2020 seasons with when I was sort of, quote unquote, on the beat there. That I haven't quite honestly seen in a long time because, you know, with the show and my commute and all that stuff, I go to games as a fan. I don't generally go, or I haven't, in almost 5 years. I guess it's more than 5 years, as a member of the media. So I got to see a lot of people yesterday. That was really cool, and have some good conversations, and you'll be hearing from them, obviously, throughout the chase for Ovechkin and the Stanley Cup playoffs, in which currently, of course, the Capitals are the number one seed. So you have all that. You have the Nationals getting their first win of the year yesterday, hanging on for dear life in the ninth, surviving the first couple of innings with lots of traffic and lots of, let's just call it, high danger opportunities for the Philadelphia Phillies to put the sweep on. They could not get it done against Mitchell Parker and friends, and then the bats came alive, Josh Bell and Nathaniel Lowe, and the Nationals get a win to salvage a game, to avoid the sweep, and to go avoid going 0-3, and off to Toronto they go for a 7-0-7 game tonight. And then, you know, just a brief little three-game road trip north of the border, and then they will have a day off and then come back for the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend. So you had that. Yeah, the XFL Defenders. I'm sorry, not the XFL anymore. My fault. UFL. DC Defenders with a defensive lockdown yesterday. I think 8 sacks. Woo! Against the defending champion Birmingham Stallions at a rowdy Audi Field. You had a lot going on this weekend. The Spirit won on Friday night. I think DC United played Saturday night, but I'm not 100% sure. I can't follow everything. Along with all of the regional finals, where you have 4 number one seeds advancing to the NCAA tournament for the first time since, what, 2007. And a lot of people have a problem with that. A lot of people have an issue with that. But I don't, with the exception of, what do you expect? What do you expect? Houston, Duke, Auburn, and Florida. Florida kind of survived, obviously, and made a huge comeback on Saturday night.
That one killed me.
You know, I was driving back from picking up dinner on Saturday evening. I didn't feel like cooking. And I thought the game was over.
They were down the entire second half until the last 20 seconds.
Yeah. They were down like by 12 with a couple of minutes left, and I turned off my car. I was listening to the game on the radio station, and then all of a sudden I get back in the house. It takes me a couple of minutes to get the TV on, and they just tied the game.
Yeah, those back-to-back threes to tie it were just backbreaking.
And that kid can shoot.
I know. I had Texas Tech in the Final Four, so that one hurt bad.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And you know, again, I didn't know a whole lot about Texas Tech. I just don't watch Texas Tech. But, you know, you knew they were a good team, didn't know how, but they were a step away from getting to the Final Four, obviously, and winning the regional final, and instead they lose it. Florida's been kind of teeter-tottering here a little bit. They easily pulled away from Maryland, but they struggled against UConn and against Texas Tech on Saturday night. Yesterday's games were a little, you know, more one-sided, obviously. Auburn over Michigan State, and Duke taking care of business. But here's the bottom line. All 4 number one seeds advance, and some people hate that. Some people love it. Some people...
Only second time ever, I think, since the Field of 64.
Yep. I think it's the first time since 2007 was the year. It might have been 2008, but I think it was 2007. But here's the point. Everybody's like, oh, wow, what does this mean? Cinderella, oh, I don't love the tournament this year. Forget about that. Cinderella will be back. It was just last year that we had Cinderella, okay? It's not because something happens 1 year, one tournament, does not mean that Cinderella is never coming back. Okay? And everybody understands what I mean by Cinderella. Okay? We're not talking about always, you know, a 12 seed or a 13 seed or whatever. But a lower seed. Let's just put it that way, right? A lower seed. I would say 8 and lower, or I guess higher. And we all know, again, just a couple of years ago, right, in the 2023 tournament, you had FAU and San Diego State, right? I mean, FAU was a 9 seed, right? And they barely got past Memphis, but because Fairleigh Dickinson had beaten Purdue in the first round in a 16-1, they got Fairleigh Dickinson instead of Purdue, right? And that was a great run. And we all remember Loyola Chicago and St. Peter's and, Butler 10 years ago, or 13 years ago now, and VCU the same year getting to the Final Four. And, of course, what George Mason did, as we all remember, in 2006, and Villanova and NC State and so on and so forth. Right? There have been Cinderella runs. Who was it last year? I'm trying to remember. There's so many things like that go together. There was one nice run last year. The point being is Cinderella will be back. Don't worry. Don't freak out. It's not just going to be David versus Goliath every year, every tournament, and one seeds are not always going to advance. As a matter of fact, we were, again, as we were just talking about, a great comeback away from not having that. And sure, Texas Tech was a 3 seed, but okay. I mean, we were a whisker away from not having 4 number one seeds, and then it really wouldn't have been as much a part of the conversation. But because a lot of the tournament went chalk, and a lot of the higher seeds did not get upset this year, a lot of people are bitching and moaning about the quality, the makeup, the component of the NCAA tournament, right? Okay, so you have that. Sometimes it's, again, going to work out that way. They're one seeds for a reason. They were the best teams in the NCAA field of 68 and grouping of 360 whatever. Sometimes that's going to work out. But the reason why, or at least a big part of the reason why, those of you that are upset about Cinderella rings hollow to me. And you're not going to hear this anywhere else. That doesn't make me right. This is just how I feel. This is just my opinion. The reason why we are dealing with 4 number one seeds and a lack of Cinderella and upsets this year, and maybe moving forward, although, again, I don't think it'll be like this every year, the reason why is because of you. Now, what the hell do I mean by that?
Me?
Yes, Chris, you.
Me?
Yes, you and all of the 9-to-5 ham and eggers out there. Yes, you. Here's what I mean by that. It is undeniable how much college athletics and the landscape has changed from top to bottom, A to Z, soup to nuts. Everything has changed. We all know this. We don't have to relitigate it. We don't have to bitch and kvetch about it. It has changed. It has radically changed. It's changed for the worse. It has not changed for the better. It has not changed. It has not made the game any more fun. It has made the game much more chaotic. The idea of program building is not a farce, not that it's not going to happen. But depending on what school, what conference, what year, what have you, and what period of time, it is very, very, very unlikely to be anything close to what it once used to be, where you can build a program over a couple of year period. And maybe when kids become juniors and or seniors, especially if you're a mid-major, you get that run and everything kind of clicks. We all understand that can happen from time to time. It's not going to happen very often. But the reason why I say it is because of you is this. You guys screamed and whined and cried and called and yelled and bitched and moaned about how college players don't get paid. You guys said, you, all of you, college basketball fans, IT specialists, automotive repair guys, whoever you are, college basketball fan or not, you said it's unfair that coaches can just leave and players have to sit out a year. You bitched and moaned. Even when you got that it was only one time that you could transfer, which led to a court decision, a high court. I don't remember exactly which court, but a higher court decision that no, the transfer portal was unlimited. Guys can change teams as frequently as they change their boxers. Well, hopefully. You wanted this. You advocated for this. You drove the bus on this. You said this has to change, which is fine. Players do deserve to get paid. Nobody should have to, quote unquote, work for free. I always argued, hey man, they were getting treated like gold. They were getting academic scholarships that, you know, quite simply, a lot of people could not afford without taking heavy student loans or getting heavy financial aid. I always argued that there was a form of payment, but it wasn't good enough. And I get it. I was not afraid to say, okay, with the proper structure, with the proper plan in place, with the proper system, let's take care of who we can take care of. Let's help who we can help. Instead, you guys said, nope, that's not good enough. We need to have the wild, wild west. We need to have unlimited resources thrown right into the lap of a young 18 or 19-year-old, or maybe even a 17-year-old. We need to have no cap. We need to be able to pay players what they are worth or what they are potentially worth in ticket revenue and exposure and in apparel and so on and so forth, right? You decided this because the programs that are the number one seeds, while others might be spending a little bit more money, maybe, I don't know, more than a little bit more money, like Arkansas, reportedly spent $10 million on their roster this year. That's more than some of the higher seeds. They were a 10 seed. You wanted college athletes to be paid whatever the free market paid them, whatever the free economic system in America decided they were worth, with no rules, with no regulations. And the rich, the Dukes, the Houstons, the Auburns, you name it, they all got richer. They all got the best players. Now others, two seeds, three seeds, got good players too. But there's a difference between Duke, right, and Texas Tech. There's a difference. There's a difference between Duke and Maryland, right? Money doesn't always guarantee you success, but what money does is it provides you a legitimate chance. And this year, the number one seeds all made it because arguably and likely they have the best roster from top to bottom. That means depth. And what did we talk about with Maryland? They don't have any depth. And what did we talk about with Maryland and where rebounds can a lot of times come from? Bench and depth. And they didn't have any of it. Now, that was either a poorly constructed team or Kevin Willard and Maryland had to pay so damn much to get a starting five, the Crab Five, that they didn't have any resources to build the rest of the roster. Duke did. Auburn did. Houston did. Florida did. Florida lost their starting center in Thursday night's win over Maryland. Didn't even affect them. Auburn lost John A. Davis yesterday. Didn't even affect them. Didn't even affect them. So this is on you guys. All of you that wanted the Wild Wild West and thought, oh, they'll figure it out. They'll come up with rules. They'll come up with regulations. No, they did not. The rich continue to get richer. It doesn't always guarantee success. It guarantees you a legitimate chance. And this year, the legitimate chance turned true four times over. In four number one seeds. Again, this is not about paying players, but the unlimited transfer portal combined with paying players with essentially no cap in name, image, and likeness has led to this. And this is exactly what you all wanted, but were too naive enough to think, oh, this is going to be a problem. This is going to cause chaos. This is going to be a mess. This is going to be the haves versus the have-nots. And I challenge you to tell me I'm wrong. At 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Like it, don't like it, agree, disagree, full of crap, whatever. I'm sure Brendan Darnomics out there will tell me that I'm full of crap, that Belmont has as great of a chance as Duke to win in college basketball. All that nonsense, homers will come up with, that just love the purity of the game. Nonsense. There's no purity of anything. It is a stone-cold business. And it has been ruined further by your continuous insistence on players getting their pay with no rules and no regulations and having the freedoms that everyone else has, whether they've earned it or not, whether it's identifiable or not, whether it's calculated or not, whether it's warranted or not. You guys wanted this. You decided this. And now you get what you get, which is fine. 4-1 seeds. But don't bitch and moan about no Cinderella, man, because you made this happen. 125, Team 980, just getting rocking and rolling on a Monday afternoon. 301-230-0980. Kevin Willard has left. We'll discuss that next, along with you, and whether or not, ultimately, he handled it in the only way he could have. In the only way he could have. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so I opened up with this rant that maybe, I'm sure many of you are going to have a major issue with. Oh, we want it. This is our fault that there's number one seed. I was just trying to think to myself, well, how did we get here? Again, I think this is an anomaly that you don't have any lower seeds, that you have all 4-1 seeds. Until it becomes a trend, it's an anomaly, okay? It may come a trend. I don't know. I don't think it will be. So I'm treating it as an anomaly. But make no mistake about it, when you're a number one seed, you're not just a number one seed because you're a better recruiter or a better coach. It's because you have better talent, more depth, more everything. Again, I gave you a couple of examples. John Abram yesterday left a game for Auburn. They could have fallen apart. Didn't think he was coming back. He comes back. You know, everybody's comparing him to Willis Reed back in 73. Hits a three-pointer. And they had a lead, and they had a big lead, and they just continued to rock and roll. But they lost their best player, right, for a significant stretch. I mean, hell, in Duke has had Cooper Flag. He hasn't even been great in the tournament. They lost him late, in the first round of the ACC tournament. Didn't play the rest, and they won the ACC championship. I mentioned Florida. Okay. I understand they have great players across the board. They lost one of their big men, one of their seven, their starting center, early Thursday night. No difference. They won by 18. When you can overcome, Maryland could not overcome a loss or foul trouble or something going wrong to one of the Crab Five. They could not overcome it. Is that because of a poorly constructed roster or program? Is that because all the NIL money they had went towards securing the talent that they had? Remember, a bunch of guys came in via the transfer portal. And it took money to keep Juju Reese. And, oh, by the way, Derek Queen didn't just come because I'm from Baltimore. He came because he got paid. And he's from Baltimore. Right? So, again, round and about we go. I truly believe that the reason why the number one seeds all advanced is because they have better depth. They have better talent across the board. Duh, they're one seeds for a reason. But also, again, and maybe some of the numbers, I gave you the Arkansas example. Arkansas paid a ton of money and they were a 10 seed. But remember, they were also in the first year of Cal. He got there sort of late. They had a bunch of guys that left. They had to bring in a whole new, pretty much a whole new roster, so on and so forth. And they were close in a bunch of games before getting hot towards the end of the season, and they should have been in the Elite Eight if they didn't gag one up on Thursday night. Okay? But my point being is, while it doesn't guarantee you anything, it does guarantee that you have a better chance than your other competitors that don't have the resources, that don't have the same budget, which is part of what Kevin Willard was bitching about before leaving for Villanova. But again, going back to the original point before we get back to Willard and Maryland, is you guys wanted this. You guys wanted the Wild Wild West. For years and years and years, I argued with college basketball honks that I've worked with, guys that I love, guys that I respect. I've listened to all sorts of different voices. Oh, pay the players. They deserve it all. They deserve more than the coaches. Screw the colleges and universities. The hell with the AD. The hell with the coaches. Pay the players. Who cares if they've done anything? Who cares if we don't have a component, a way to really judge what they're worth? I mean, we have statistics, but in some cases, and here's the kind of the weird thing, is we don't always have statistics. In a recruiting world, when you have to recruit freshmen, what have they done? Outside of, okay, been great high school players. Well, that shouldn't automatically get you paid. That shouldn't automatically get you paid millions to come to a school. But you guys wanted this. You guys demanded it. So don't bitch about Cinderella or the lack thereof. This is what you wanted. This is what you ached for. All in the sake of, well, Johnny should get his. Derek should get his. Right? And again, it might sound like I don't want players to get paid. No, I just want a fair and equitable system. In essence, a salary cap. Or I want some sort of like, hey, we need to have a leveling of the playing field here. It shouldn't be the Wild Wild West.
But Chris, this is my question. How would you impose a salary cap on NIL? Because it's not like
they're talking about it now. They haven't put it through. They passed
you
legislation.
You're getting the same problems that they had before where you're like, okay, there's a salary cap. Coincidentally, this guy has a job at a Dairy Queen for $500,000 a year.
Again,
that he never appears at. But you can just do that.
Right. But there has to be regulation, is my point. And there, you know, just like in the NFL, right? Every NFL team has salary cap compliance and contract people, right? Every university, they have to hire three or four people or whatever it is to handle all of that, all of the NIL.
But we all
make
know
sure that everybody's not under the table. Make sure everybody.
That has never worked in college sports, though.
Well, it doesn't work if you don't try, right? Of course, people have broken the rules, Chris. And to your point, yes. It likely will happen again. But if you don't try, if you have no system, if you have no cap, if you have no restriction, if you have no monitoring, if you have no regulation, and they have some, but it's not anything. It's not like, again, in the ACC, Duke and, I don't know, Virginia Tech are spending the exact same amount of money. They're not, right? On their college basketball roster. Just use basketball.
No. Nope.
Okay, never mind football. Duke and Virginia Tech are not spending the same amount of money on their college basketball roster. Who do you think's going to win that? Duke, right?
Sure. Certainly on the recruiting side, yes.
Yeah. And where do you think players are going to continue to go? Are they going to go to McNeese State? Are they going to go to are they going to go to Creighton in Omaha, Nebraska? Or are they going to go to USC and UCLA and Miami and exotic places that can pay you and take care of you and give you a chance to compete at the highest level? And again, I'm just using a couple of those examples. Obviously, Duke and Houston. And those are all big. You know, Houston's a big market. It's a top five market. I know Auburn's not a top five market. Auburn's an SEC school, right? In a very, 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 very big hotbed for college athletics. First football, yes, but also for basketball. Ask Alabama and Nate Oates. He's turned around that basketball program. It was in a mess 4 years ago, 5 years ago when he got there, right? It was a mess. Nobody cared about Alabama basketball, but I guess my point being is, right, the athletes are going to go where they can get paid. They all have agents. They all have marketing agents, reps, whatever it is. They're going to go not where the best opportunity for their education is, not where the best opportunity maybe for their living and lifestyle is, not even necessarily where their family is. Look at Hunter Dickinson, right? Wanted to come home to Maryland from Michigan. They couldn't pay him what he wanted, so he got it from Kansas, and he never came home. Wanted to play here, right? Wanted to play here.
So maybe
my point being is,
maybe the issue, though, isn't a salary cap, because I feel college already knows a million ways to get around that. They're already going to. This is why they had these issues before they were paying players. They're just going to bring that back. But maybe you limit the amount of transfers you can have on your team per year.
Well, something like that.
Then you can pay them. You can pay them all, whatever. You only get five a year.
Right. That's
something
just
like that.
That's just one way. Again, this is not just about payment.
Sure.
This is about restricting artificially how much money, how much freedom, transfer portal, how much unilateral ability to just snap your finger, wake up on the wrong side of the bed and say, I don't think about this. Okay. St. John's, great story this year, right? Had a great run, won the Big East, Everybody loves Rick Pitino.
The first major upset of the tournament, but yes.
Lose in the second round to Arkansas and Cal. 2-10 upset. He benches his best player, the Big East player of the year. Benches him in controversial fashion. He had really been struggling.
That's a very old school Bob Knight style coaching. Yep.
They lost. It did not work. The kid's transferring. The kid's out. He's gone. Because he woke
up on
the
road. You were him, though?
Well, listen, if I told you how many times things did not go my way in this building, Chris.
Sure.
Am I transferring to, you know, some other radio company in D.C.?
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to feel like this. It's like, this is a situation where he clearly feels, and this kid's like his boss, his coach, basically doesn't have his back. And if you feel like that in a job, you probably don't want
to
stay there.
Maybe he's trying to make him better. Maybe he's trying to get through to him.
Maybe the way he's trying isn't what works for this guy.
Maybe,
I mean, that's the thing.
Maybe not. But my point is everybody wanted this. Everybody wanted the Wild Wild West. It's as simple as I can boil it down. Everyone wanted this, with the exception of me. I was fine. I was fine with rules.
They should have been paying the kids since before I was born.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I was fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with, you know, some sort of struggle. All I wanted was a system that was fair, that was monitored and regulated and was fair, and not the Wild Wild West, and exactly the opposite of what I wanted and what I fought for years is now in play. Unlimited free agency and basically unlimited NIL. And that's, again, a problem when you think of all the movement, when you think of the instability of building a program, yes. But it's also a problem, again, if you are of the thought that, hey, one of the things about the NCAA tournament that's so awesome is the run by the little guy, the Cinderella. Again, that's number one.
Well, the mid-majors are pretty much done now.
Well,
yeah.
So again, and I don't think every year that's going to be the case.
Mid-majors?
But we are entering a period now that all of this has taken full control and full throttle, and everybody's kind of figured it out. Until there's restrictions in place, we are entering a period now where why would you go, honestly, unless you are not talented enough, why would you go play for McNeese when you could go play for somebody that is going to pay you, even if you're not great, even if you sit on the bench, they're going to pay you, right? And that's how teams build their depth. That's how teams replace players that leave after 1 year or 2 years or whatever it might be. Again, it's a vicious cycle. And so my point in saying all of this is not to deny people to get paid. That's not what I'm about. I don't mind them getting paid. Have a system in place. Have a structure in place. Have rules in place. Have guidance in place. Have compliance in place. And I know what you're saying, Chris, that people will get away with it. I got it. I was looking up before the show. Real quickly, I'll give you this. The highest reported NIL players this year, right? Because NIL payrolls, team payrolls, not available. Cooper Flagg, you've heard of him? Duke?
No idea. No, who is that guy?
He's
comic book character?
NIL value of $3.3 million. Do you think Creighton, no offense to Creighton, can afford $3.3 million for one player?
You're saying George Mason ain't picking him up in the portal.
No, exactly. I mean, and I love Mason. Cam Jones. Now, he plays for Marquette, not a pillar of basketball, college basketball society, but still a well-known program, have competed, Big East, so on and so forth. Cam Jones, $1.9 million. Chaz Lanier of Tennessee, who got disposed of yesterday, $1.8 million. Dylan Harper, Ron Harper's kid, who's created a little bit of buzz, not apparently loving what they're doing here in Washington, expected to be a top pick. He's worth $1.8 million. His teammate, Ace Bailey, another freshman, just south of that, $1.7 million. P.J. Haggerty, Memphis, $1.8 million. You get the point. Not all of it is Duke. Not all of it is the one seeds. But as a individual, yes, some are going to be the one seeds. More, I believe, as a team, as a program, revenue share, NIL, NIL collective, donors, so on and so forth, they're just going to have more money to spend to make a better roster, a deeper roster. Again, Maryland's problem this year was not their starting five. It was not talent. It was not being able to keep a big fish home instead of swimming away in the sea. It was about not having enough resources, if you will, to build a bench, to absorb what also is needed. And that was part of Kevin Willard's issue. Now, whether Kevin Willard handled it right or not, of course, is a bigger issue, which is what we're going to tackle next. I want to spend a little bit more time on this. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980. I see by your lack of response that you guys don't really care about this. I understand it's hard for people to understand where I'm coming from because I'm right. You guys want everybody to get paid, and you want to look around like Babe in the Woods, like there's no problems. Well, there's all sorts of problems. Again, you created this. You wanted it. You demanded it. You've got it. Don't bitch about it. On the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up hour number one. Chris is alongside on the other side of the glass, so be nice to him if you choose to call in. 301-230-0980. You can yell at me all you want.
Well, I'll bite the heads off. I ain't worried about them.
I'm right, and not that you're wrong, but I'm right, and you can choose whether you can be right or wrong depending on how you feel. And again, the overall point is, while information and data is hard to come by, right? There's not like, you know, in baseball, they have COTS baseball contracts. In football and in other sports, they have SpotTrack, right? And overthecap.com, where we can track a lot of this data. There really isn't. I mean, I've been on a couple of different websites. You know, I've got some numbers, individual NIL, but I haven't seen team payrolls, right? So a lot of it is just kind of smoke and mirrors. But make no mistake about it. Right? Make no mistake about it. If you spend more, you're going to have a better roster. As long as you have some sort of clue as to what you're doing, you're going to have a better roster and you're going to have a better chance. And that's how we got the number one seeds. Period. So don't bitch about it, right? Again, you guys wanted this. Now you have to deal with the ramifications, right? Everybody wanted the kids to get paid. Fine. But now this is what you get. This is what you get because you didn't think far enough in advance. You just wanted and wanted and wanted. And quite honestly, that led to Kevin Willard's departure from Maryland. There is a reason why Kevin Willard went to Villanova. It's not a basketball-only school, but Villanova has like basically a minor football program. They don't have a football factory. They don't have a football powerhouse. He doesn't have to battle the Villanova football program for some massive revenue share split.
It's kind of the whole Big East, really. But
yes, but that's the point. If you're a basketball coach, I don't give a rat's ass about football. I care about my existence. I care about winning championships and making Final Fours. That's what I'm paid for. That's how I'm judged. I don't care about football. I don't care about the university as a whole. If it costs me opportunities. And that's what Kevin Willard said over and over again to the media, while also backhanding and secretly dealing with a courtship from Villanova, which is why everyone's pissed at him. We'll talk about that more next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, X, Twix, whatever you want to call it, it's at WrestleMania 621, at WrestleMania 621 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.